Welcome to Just the Taste. I'm Scott Curry with Chef's Test. We gather to talk about the trends in marketing, retail, and production in food and beverage that are shaping the industry. We're joined today by an amazing guest, and one I'm so appreciative for joining us, Dr. Lynn Rossi. Lynn Rossi, PhD, is a health psychologist, author, researcher, and Kripalu yoga teacher, specializing in mindfulness-based interventions for eating, stress, and workplace wellness. She developed a mindful eating program called Eat for Life. She is the president of the Center for Mindful Eating and executive director of Tasting Mindfulness. Her highly regarded book, The Mindfulness-Based Eating Solution, made the list of the top 10 mindful books of 2016. Lynn, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So we're going to cover a lot today and hopefully dig deep into some very powerful concepts. But let's just start way at the top with a brief introduction to your background and how you came to the Center for Mindful Eating.
Okay, great. Well, I've always had an interest in mindfulness. Mindfulness-based interventions have been part of my career since the beginning, and I was teaching the mindfulness-based stress reduction program at the University of Missouri for their wellness program. And then I was asked to develop a mindful eating program because the people at the university were facing the same health risks as everybody else, which is that people were struggling with how they ate and how they move their bodies. And so I developed Eat for Life and then did some research on it, looking at its effects, and came up with some good results. So I decided to then write about it in a book called The Mindfulness-Based Eating Solution, and was presenting actually at a conference in Boston at the Center for Mindfulness when I ran into a board member from the Center for Mindful Eating, and she said, you should be a part of the board. So they did contact me, and I started on the board about 5 years ago and became president about a year and a half ago. So it's been a real pleasure to work with wonderful people around the world who are trying to help people have a really healthy and fun and delicious relationship with food and their bodies.
All right. So the it's like, where do we want to start? What is... What is the, because we're going to go to a lot of topics here, but what is the current state in our society of our relationship to eating, to being mindful of what they're eating, and expanding that even further, the effect, and obviously I'm leaning here towards that we need to become more mindful, the effect that it has on our relationships and our society. Where do we stand right now?
Well, see, I think that unfortunately we've become so focused on information outside of us, like diet plans and supposedly experts telling us how to eat, and there's always a new fad that comes out every month or so. And people keep looking to an external expert about what they should be doing when the most important teacher that they have is inside their own bodies. And so what mindfulness does is it helps people relearn how to listen to their own bodies about how to eat, what to eat, how much to eat, what feels good to the body, what tastes good. I mean, I love that you're all about taste, right? Because people come to my classes, and I've had people come after the first week of practicing mindfulness and bringing mindfulness to eating and say things like, I don't like anything that I eat I just hadn't noticed before, right? So it's profound, the changes that take place when people start taking their attention inward and noticing, well, I don't really like that, or hey, I really like that, or hey, I don't need as much food as I thought I needed to be satisfied because I wasn't paying attention, right? So all of this external, like looking at diets, going into the, you know, the latest diet plan and our, you know, way to eat, is really disconnecting from your own internal wisdom. So that's really part of our culture. You know, there's a lot of companies out there. There's a lot of people out there wanting to get your money for their next, you know, new diet plan. But in essence, it's going inside and listening to your own internal teacher that's going to give you the best information.
So to attempt to break it down, there's almost maybe two ways that I'm hearing, where being mindful, right, which is you described so eloquently, but it's about being present and aware, and bringing your attention inward. There's maybe a macro and a micro view almost. There's you know, what is your diet, right? Your overall diet. Are you nourishing your body, or are you filling it with things it doesn't want or doesn't need, and in that long scope of listening to your body. But then there is also a micro component of this, which is at your actual dinner table, right? Because I think they're obviously related, but you almost can't have one without the other. So for example, I may eat healthy by the definitions of cutting out sugar and whatnot, right? But what if I'm not mindful when I'm at the dinner table itself? I'm half extending myself here for a therapy session because I have kids, and you're just called the clean plate club, right? You're just trying to eat and finish your food. You got to hurry up before you get to the soccer practice and all of that type
right,
of stuff.
Right.
It almost feels like we need a completely different relationship with not only the food that we eat, right, but the act of eating itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are in a very fast-paced world, and asking people to slow down and to take their time to really have a meal and pay attention and savor and chew and, you know, have conversation in between the bites, you know, is really going back to the way things used to be, perhaps. And the way other cultures outside of America still are, to a large degree, I think particularly in this country, you know, that we are the fast food nation and people eat on the run. I just heard a figure of like the percentage of people that eat in their cars, and it's pretty large, you know? Mm-hmm. And so not that that's bad. I mean, none of this is bad. So I want to make sure that I clarify that mindful eating can be in your car. I don't care. If that's when you need to eat and that's how you can get it done, do it as mindfully as possible, right? Don't just be completely unconscious, right? I used to, when I was having to go to a different place to work, I had the most leisurely breakfast in my car than I would have had trying to stuff it in before I left. I had, you know, 20 minutes in the car where I could take a bite and, you know, really enjoy it. And so I think we have to be creative about how we eat and how we live our lives, because our world is pretty demanding. So there's a way of weaving it in, no matter in what situation, you know, you're eating. And also, we really kind of try to get away from labeling something as healthy or unhealthy. Because I go to parties, you know, it's the holiday season, and I'll go to a party and somebody says, oh, I'm eating cake, I'm not eating mindfully. Well, I'm like, you can eat mindfully and eat cake. You know, it's not about what you eat. It's about how you're eating it, how much you're eating it. Are you honoring your body and your taste buds when you're eating? So that you can have a piece of cake if you want a piece of cake. You can have whatever it is that you want, but just make sure that you're present for it and that you're taking into consideration your entire body, which is not just your taste buds, but it's also your belly, right? It's mm-hmm. like, how much of this would your body really want? So it's about taking yourself as a whole. And not having restrictions, because we know from the research that it's the restrictions against food that make you want to crave it. I mean, just think about it. Anytime that you say, I can't have something, then you're going to want it. And you're eventually going to have it. But if when you have it, you're not really going to enjoy it because you've got this idea in your mind that you shouldn't have it. And then so you're going to eat it too fast. You're going to feel guilty. And you're probably going to overeat it because all of these emotions are, present. So when we can relax around food and, you know, really take our time to consider what it is you really want and really let yourself have it, you're more likely to have the right amount of it and not be stressed out about it.
I love what you said there about honoring your body and your taste buds. It seems like we're almost on a roller coaster, right? Where you alluded to it, almost guilt, right? Like guilting, beating yourself up, whether consciously or subconsciously. That can just create this spiraling effect that we've had. It's almost like a yo-yo. We know that there is an obesity epidemic in this country. You know, some of the statistics suggest, 66% being overweight, 33% being obese, and there's different definitions to BMI, but the point being that there's a challenge, and it's a challenge to our healthcare system as well. From your perspective, do you feel that, if we can become more mindful, that would be a great long-term strategy to dealing with, that issue in our society?
So mindful eating, we know, helps people reduce binge eating. We know that mindful eating helps people reduce the amount of emotional eating that they do. And if I've done a lot of surveys in my life, in my career, asking people, how much do you emotionally eat? And I can guarantee you there's a lot of that going on. Because people don't really eat just when they're physically hungry. They eat when they're happy. They eat when they're sad. They eat when they're angry. They eat when they're stressed. They eat when they're bored, and on and on and on, right? And in general, people eating when you're physically hungry, when the body is asking for food, is the best time to eat. And that it's okay if once in a while we eat when we're not really physically hungry, if something really, really tasty is there and you may not have it again, anytime soon. I mean, you're going to have it. That's okay. But there's a lot of regular emotional eating that goes on in our lives. And so we know that mindful eating decreases that. We really also know that mindfulness helps people not only just eat, in a way that's better for the body and creates more pleasure, but it also taps people into the other needs that the body has, the other needs that you have as an individual. So what I've noticed is that people actually will begin to move their bodies more. They'll actually begin to feel into their body's needs for movement, for stretch, for activity, which is also really good for the body. And so it's really a holistic program that improves a person's well-being on so many different levels, including how to deal with their difficult emotions. So if we're not using food, what are we doing, right? So we're using mindfulness as a tool to help us be resilient around difficult emotions. So the mindfulness piece is such a, it addresses so many different issues that a person might have in their life, as well as the thoughts in their head that drive them crazy, by the way. and so we really like to stay away from the idea that obesity is the problem, because there are obesity is a classification by the medical system. And so we know that there's some problems with using that term, and that there are people at many different sizes that are healthy, and that that looking at weight as an outcome measure is not what we really recommend at the Center for Mindful Eating or myself. But we ask people to really think about, what would you like to be doing in your life that would create greater well-being? And then that takes the whole person into consideration, because we know that there's a problem when a person who's falls into the, you know, the not overweight category goes into the doctor, and they're not examined as carefully as maybe somebody who weighs more, because it's assumed that the smaller person is going to be healthier than the larger person, and we know that that's not a fact. So there's been some pretty good research that's looked at how problematic that classification can be. But I know what you're trying, I think, to get at, which is it going to help people be healthier? Yes, it's going to help people be healthier. And that may manifest in a lot of different ways, but taking the focus off of weight is something that we're really trying to do, because there is health at many different sizes.
Beautiful.
And, you know, we're in this kind of culture where people are really not served by the focus on weight. It creates more problems than it solves in a lot of ways. So we're trying to take the focus onto well-being and behaviors that create well-being.
So I wanted to dig into perhaps unlocking one of those. And I know from, you know, my understanding of you that Thich Nhat Hanh is a, you know, a guide for you know, a lot of your spiritual approach, and imagine how it applies to mindful eating. So I wanted to discuss one of my favorite concepts of his, and it is from Understanding Our Mind, which is probably a book I would recommend to anyone in the world. It's life-changing. And is the concept of seeds, and how through our life, there are seeds that are planted. And, you know, these seeds, you don't really want to label them, but they're good, they're bad, they're everything. They're just seeds that are, you know, in our being, in our brain. And one of the keys, as he guides us towards, is watering the right ones. Because
right.
If you have a seed of anger or I mean, just ton, you know, we all have them, right, from our childhood and everything. When you water them, then they are seen more as well, and because they come to the surface, and then they need to be watered more, and they need to be watered more, and it's an endless cycle. Whereas bringing your attention to that seed, acknowledging it, but choosing not to water it or feed it, if you will, is his suggestion there. How can we apply some of Thich Nhat Hanh's guidance and learning around seeds to mindful eating in our daily lives?
Yeah. So anything that we tend to, anything that we water, anything that we do repetitively, we will continue to do. So if we water the seeds of compassion, we'll have more compassion. If we water the seeds of anger, we'll have more anger. So if we begin to water the seeds of awareness, I'll start with that, because I think that awareness is key. And doing any small practice every day, and daily practice, I think, is so important. Consistent daily practice is so important to help us begin to become more conscious human beings. And so just sitting for 5 minutes, let's say, and being aware of your body and being aware of your breath and being aware of your thoughts, be aware of your feelings. I call it like visiting yourself. You know, if you would visit yourself 5 minutes a day, you know, before you become outwardly focused on all the other things that you're going to do in your day, you're worth 5 minutes, right? And so stopping and really just close your eyes, or you can keep your eyes open, doesn't matter. And just sit and breathe and be. And notice the breath, notice your body, notice the feelings, notice the thoughts with kindness and compassion. And really, so you're watering the seeds of compassion and kindness and curiosity. And so those are such important seeds to water: compassion, kindness, and curiosity. Because otherwise, we're usually watering the seeds of judgment. There's a lot of judgment that we live under in this society. And so beginning with just this kind, compassionate attention to yourself as a human being. You might feel the effects of your day on your body. You might feel the effects of the worry on your body. It won't necessarily always be a pleasant experience, but it'll be a real experience. It will be an experience that's authentic, right? That you can have of yourself so that you are in touch with yourself as you go around the rest of your day. And then when you sit down to eat, really stop and check in with your belly. You know, check in, what are those seeds of attention when you sit down or before you sit down with food at your table? Consider where the food comes from. This is one that Thich Nhat Hanh really loves to do, is to be aware really where the food comes from. Can you take a moment to consider the sun that was involved in, you know, helping the food to grow, and the rain and the farmers and the fields and the processes by which the food, you know, made its way to your table today. We've become so kind of bored with the wonder, absolute wonder of everything that we have, that stopping to consider all the processes that it took to bring that food to you today, and that you actually have a table to sit at and a plate of food in front of you to eat, and have a moment of gratitude. So you're cultivating those seeds of gratitude about, wow, this is pretty cool that I can sit down to a plate of food and eat something that will nourish my body, is a very powerful practice, and begins to, you know, wake us up to the moments of our life that are so extraordinary when we stop to look deeply into them. And it's not something that we're normally taught to do. And anywhere we can teach people to do this more, I think it could change the world. I mean, I really do think mindful eating can change the world. Of course, I'm very passionate about this topic. But I also think it connects people, can connect you with the seasons, you know, like during different seasons, different kinds of food is available to you, and beginning to eat seasonally so that your body is more nurtured with the food that's more local, and maybe go out and meet your local farmers. I mean, this is something that I really encourage people to become more involved with, is how can we support our local communities? And so we're nurturing the seeds of our community when we eat mindfully. So I see mindful eating, you got me on a roll now. I see mindful eating not just as a personal act that we do for ourselves, but it's an act that affects our community. It affects our environment. It affects, you know, everything in our lives is affected by the choices we make, by the food we put into our mouths. So I know Wendell.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that role. Thank you.
Well, Wendell Berry, I don't know if you're aware of Wendell Berry, but he's a wonderful poet and agricultural activist. And he said, you know, eating is an agricultural act. And it truly is. And so, and Thich Nhat Hanh talks about interconnectedness and how eating connects us with so many other things outside of ourselves. And so just gaining a little bit wider perspective through the act of mindful eating and seeing it as an act of love. You know, every time we put food into our mouths, we're watering the seeds of love and kindness towards ourselves. We're nourishing our bodies with each bite. And when you begin to look at it that way, you begin to consider, well, how am I loving myself, right? How am I choosing to nurture myself? And is this going to serve me in the way that I would want to be served if I really loved myself? So beginning to help people to see that connection is very powerful.
And as you use the word gratitude, and I think that's, if there's anything that's missing, it's that. And if you look at, you said it's an agricultural act. Have we forgotten that? I mean, I would say, suggest maybe we look at that as an industrial and convenient act. When you could really, if you visit the supermarket, there's wonder everywhere, right? I mean, the fact that I can drive down the street right now and purchase an apple for 50 cents is absolutely extraordinary. Wherever that apple came from and how it got there, certainly began from a seed, right? Come full circle. that you know was under the sky somewhere and taking up water from an aquifer somewhere, and that apple made its all the way to the supermarket where I can get it for 50 cents and bring it home and eat it is amazing. And I think that we should appreciate that across all food. I think that there's currently, it's in vogue right now to bash food unless it is absolutely pure and organic, right? Kosher to your standards. When we should be gracious that even what you would call the most processed food, and I'm doing that in air quotes because I'm not going to try and define what processed food is, but you know, still started from wheat in a field somewhere. And yes, there are a lot of processes in order for it to get to you, but you know, even in that choice, there could be gratitude
absolutely.
For really anything.
Yes.
I think you've given us some insight, but and as I said, took me on a journey there for a few minutes. But tell me what it would be like. And I don't know if that's the right question here, but for be a part of the Center for Mindfulness Eating, what would it be like? How if I'm listening right now and this is of interest to me, what might some of the next steps be, and what could I expect out of that experience?
Yeah, so about a year and a half ago, we decided as a board that we would begin to offer services to both professionals and to the general public. So up until then, our main mission had been training professionals like dietitians and psychologists and doctors and coaches and things like that. To teach mindful eating to their clients. But we had so many people coming to our website that were interested in mindful eating, and we decided that we would begin to offer more that was specifically geared towards the general public. So now we really have two kinds of branches, if you would, and you can access all of the webinars that we do, you know, no matter who you are, but we wanted to keep in mind, you know, here's some things that would be really great for the general public, here's some things that would be really great for professionals, and so we have kind of two tracks. And you can sign up as a member, so our memberships are very, very inexpensive, or you can just go to our website and participate in some of the webinars. You know, you can pay for a small fee for the different webinars that we give, and we also give free webinars. So you can just go to our website at thecenterformindfuleating.org and browse through all the opportunities that are available to you, everything from quarterly newsletters to webinars. We have every year a World Mindful Eating Month, which is in the month of January, where we have a whole 31-day program in a closed Facebook page that people can take advantage of. And so we are about training people, you know, whether you're just a person wanting to know how to eat mindfully or a professional wanting to offer these in your practice. We have a little bit of something for everyone. So really just going to our website, I think, would be the first step in looking at the different things we have available. Again, memberships, particularly if you're a professional, the cost of the membership gets you webinars during the year that would give you CE credits that you can use. And then people that are in the general public, of course, don't need CE credits, but they get a lot of free webinars if they sign up as a member. So memberships are available that make it even cheaper. So,
and I want to note as well, per your website, you're primarily funded by your members who pay annual membership fees.
We are. We're a nonprofit organization, and our board is all volunteer. And I'm telling you, it's an act of love because we put in a lot of hours to keep this organization going without any, nobody takes any salary for that. So we do have an executive. We do have two administrators that work part-time to do the things that we have to get done. But all the programming and stuff is out of the depths of our hearts. So we have a lot of people that feel very passionately about this topic, that are wonderful professionals giving really top quality educational services. And so I feel really good about what we offer to the world. Really, we're an international organization with board members in many different countries.
Thank you for that work. So a list here again of where folks can find you is primarily the Center for Mindful Eating.org. They can connect on Instagram, found at the Center for Mindful Eating. Those are underscores between each one. Facebook is tcme.mindful.eating. And of course, to connect a little closer with you at lynnrossi.com, and that's lynnrossy.com. Is there any other ways that you suggest that folks can follow along and perhaps be inspired? I know I'm going to run to sign up for the newsletter, and we'll look into the January 31-day guided assistance, as I'm sure I will be needing. But how else can folks? Trying to head into the holidays here, relatively healthy, and see what comes out of the back end. But January is a great month to bring attention to yourself. Any other ways that folks can connect with you?
No, I think that pretty much describes the places where they can go. Of course, they can always pick up my book if they want to read a little bit more about the a mindful eating program like the one that I teach. So
that's the mindfulness-based eating solution. Shall I assume that's available where all books are sold, which means Amazon?
Wherever you can buy a book. Amazon works fine. The Barnes & Noble, all the major ones have it.
Excellent. Well, Lynn, I want to thank you very much for joining us. It was a real, real pleasure to have you on and speak with you.
Well, thanks for having me, Scott. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us on Just a Taste, a Chef's Best Production. Join us again next time as we talk to more experts in marketing, retail, and production in the food and beverage industry. You can always visit us at chefsbest.com to learn more.